It is 13 past 7 o'clock now here on WPHM Wednesday morning. Bitterly cold. We'll detail that weather forecast again coming up in just a few minutes. Terry Harrington is here from St. Clair County. Risa, Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Most people know you as the voice of Dateline Schools, which you've been doing for, what, 20?
Going on 25 years now. Can you believe that?
Going on 25 now already?
Yeah. Holy cow.
I can't believe that. And what I also can't believe is that in that 25 years, I don't think there's been a week that we haven't had Dateline Schools, that Terry hasn't been the voice of Dateline Schools, and that Terry hasn't said, you've never said, well, just run, the Dateline from a month ago. They've all been original, and they chronicle what's going on in education across St. Clair County.
Yeah, it's been an exciting run, and it's surprising. We've tried to figure it out. It's over 1,200 shows that we've done, because we do it for a week, same topic for a week. And 52 times a year, so you can do the math. So it's been exciting. It's been a great run.
You ever take a step back and say, wow, look at how much has changed and how much has stayed the same in education in those 25 years?
Yeah, we really have. And we take a look at some of the different topics that we're doing now. Early childhood, obviously, is one big change that we've seen locally. Of course, we've got other things going on, too, locally that have really made some changes in education. The Blue Water Middle College, for one. Tech always is a good topic to have because of all the things going on out there. It never ends. It's pretty exciting to see what's going on and the impact that it's having locally.
I remember there was a time when something you were heavily involved with at RISA was called distance learning, and you would set up these satellite feeds from other parts of the country and other parts of the world for classrooms to connect with other classrooms, which is fascinating. And now it's not unusual for a kid to reach in his pocket, pull out an iPhone, say, hey, remember that exchange student we had from Germany last year? Well, we're talking to her right now on my iPhone. I mean, boy, how technology has changed.
Oh, my goodness. When we started doing that back about 1999, 2000, I mean, we felt like we had the world at our fingertips. Yeah. Now we got it in our pocket,
it's amazing.
So, yeah, it's great. But we did some pretty cool stuff with that. We did some autopsies, and we had open heart surgeries and live knee replacement surgeries for biology students. One of our favorite ones that we did local is called Ask the Author, and we talked to the guys from the lighthouse. And, the kids read some books on Michigan lighthouses and all that. And then we brought Bob in, and he sat down and talked to the kids. And it was a blast.
Yeah.
One of my favorite questions from that, we had a student from Troy, one of the Troy schools, and he asked a question. Well, how many candles would it take to equal the candle watt power of the lighthouse light?
There's a good question.
Yeah, well, Bob, it totally stumped Bob. It was great. And then, so we got Terry Parks, our math science director, to come in to this video conference. And we said, okay, Terry, how do you figure this one out? And he couldn't,
Oh, wow.
But, one of the amazing things, we always, when we did that one, we always had one of the light bulbs from the lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And we always ask the kids, how big do you think the light bulb is? And you get all kinds of crazy answers, We hold it up. It's no bigger than your little finger.
Yeah.
And it's because of the Fresnel lens that they have on the lighthouse and how the glass is cut and it magnifies the light. But, we had a lot of fun with those programs. It was great learning opportunities for kids.
And over your years in RISA, your job has changed and morphed, and you've done different things, including one of the hats that you wear now is St. Clair County's truancy officer.
Yeah, boy, that was never in the job career path, that's for sure. But, it's been interesting doing this going on 6 years now. And to me, it's an opportunity to have a direct impact on a child and on a family. And if we can get those kids in school on a daily basis, we're doing some good things because it really enhances that student's opportunity for one, the time they get out of school. It has a huge impact on the community and not to mention a huge impact on that child's student family.
Absolutely. One or two missed days, the truancy officer's not getting called. But at some point, when you see chronic absenteeism, then you're going to have to get a call, aren't you?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, we define chronic absences. And this is not just a local thing. This is something that's really going on nationally. According to the U.S. Department of Education, over 6 million kids are chronically absent every year or across the country. Here in Michigan, last year's statistics, 16-17 school year, a little over 233,000 students out of 1.2 million students were chronically absent. Then you bring that down into St. Clair County, we had over 3,300 kids who are chronically absent. Now we said, okay, what's chronically absent? Well, nationally, we define it as missing more than 10%. So if a student misses 10%, that's about 18 to 20 days a year. We have roughly 180 days of school, snow days like you were talking about earlier this morning. So that's 2 days a month And you stop and think, we average about 20 days a month of school. So if you're missing 2 days a month, you're missing a lot of instruction. You're never going to get back. Yeah, you may do the makeup work and, you know, some of those things, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the classrooms that you just cannot make up when you're not there. And, you know, we've got a lot of kids that have, you know, missed 20, 30, 40 days a year, 50 days a year in some cases. You know, and that's what we're really trying to focus on.
It's interesting you point out this is a sort of a national epidemic, so it's not just a St. Clair County issue. Is there any reason why? Is there a common thread when you look at all these absent students? Is there one common reason why?
No, there isn't a common reason. I mean, there are some consistent reasons from families. One, you know, some families may not have valued education, so mom and dad don't make it a priority. So if Johnny says, oh, I'm not feeling good today, well, he stays home. Some students have some chronic illnesses, especially this time of the year, those kids with asthma and some of those kind of things. This is a tough time for them. Anxiety is another one we see a lot of that really affects kids. And that's one we're hard to deal with because that's not something you can see, obviously. And then there's some other circumstances, too. Single parents, you know, so maybe Johnny or Susie staying home helping to take care of the kids because mom has to get to work today. Transportation sometimes is an issue. You know, so what I try to do is identify what those specific barriers are for that family and then try to come up with a plan or try to find some community resources that can help address that plan.
Yeah, and usually with a good outcome too, right?
For the most part, yes. Sometimes, no. You know, sometimes we have to put, we just can't get the kids to school, so we end up filing a petition and we put them on juvenile probation. And so sometimes those kids, that's all it took. It was their wake-up call. Other times they end up going to the day treatment night watch program or some other setting that will help them to see that they need to be to school. Other times we've had to put a few parents in jail for not going to getting their kids to school. Those are the extreme cases, and that's not one I like to do. But sometimes you've got to do to get the kids to school. But I've got an example. The first mom I ever put in jail because of it, she had like four kids. One of the kids, matter of fact, is getting ready. She's going to graduate this year. She's attending Blue Water Middle College, and she's doing great things. That probably would not have happened if I didn't say, okay, mom, this is what you're going to do. And, you know, so that's a help. So
I'm sure parents are surprised when they hear what, you know, the potential penalty is for not getting the kids to school. I think they think, well, it's my choice. You know, I can send them to school or not send them to school. I don't think they realize sometimes that there are penalties for those actions.
Yeah, there is. And according to the compulsory attendance law, it's considered a misdemeanor. So it can be 2 to 90 days in jail. It could be a fine as little as $5 to, you know, whatever the judge may want it to seek. And so there's some leeway there, of course. And for the students, of course, under the compulsory attendance law, not only they need to be in school every day, but they need to follow school rules and different things. And so some of those kids can be on probation for as long as 9 months up to a couple of years, 3 years. I've had it in a few cases. Those are the more extreme cases. But, you know, they get involved with marijuana or whatever and are drinking and just can't seem to get their act together. So they end up staying on probation a little bit longer.
Of course, the nice thing now, Terry, is there are a lot of options, too, for those students that can't do well in a traditional school setting. There are homeschool options. There are, options for online learning. There are a lot of different things.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, one of them we started here at RESA a few years ago is a Virtual Learning Academy. As, you know, you've had Denise on several times and talking about that. And, you know, that's kind of a second chance school for those kids 16 to 19, where they do some of the work at the academy, other work they do at home online. And, you know, so is that chance to find what works best for you. And for each, you can't just say, okay, you're third grade, here's what you're going to do type of thing. You've got to kind of customize it. And in the classroom, the teachers try to do that. You're learning, the way you learn is going to be different than my way of learning. And you may do great with lectures. I don't do so good with lectures, but give me that hands-on and that kind of thing, I'm going to do much better. So you've got to find, like you said, you got to find that niche that works best for each individual student.
For that parent or grandparent that's listening this morning and says, I can totally identify with this. I have a very hard time getting the kids to school. I'm at my wit's end and I don't know what to do. What advice do you have?
Well, obviously, keep encouraging the students. Keep talking about school and the importance of school. Let the kids know what are the opportunities they're missing out on. And we've got a whole plethora, a big word that we like to throw around once in a while, a lot of different opportunities, you know, whether as a junior and senior high school going to Tech and doing some of those kind of things, starting as a sophomore, going to the Blue Water Middle College. As you said, with all the online, we've now had that Learn On program here in St. Clair County where the local teachers are the online because a student may do better in that setting. I guess, too, as a parent, you need to set that expectation. Kids need some structure. They need to know what the boundaries are, and parents need to set that. And that's one of the things I'm finding a lot. Not a lot of respect for parents these days. And you see that, too, a lot. Just listen to the newscasts, all those kind of things. You know, so set those boundaries, set those expectations, and do it early. Preschool kids going to the Great Start Readiness Program all the way up into kindergarten, first, second grade. That's when those habits start, and that's when we need to do it, is start working on it as early as we can in the child's life, and they'll come to appreciate that.
Well, it's a good time to do it. It's not the start of the school year, but it's the midway point, and it's the start of a new year, so maybe a good time to turn over the new leaf. And
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's habits. A great time, and as you said, a promo before the newscast, you know, be a great New Year's resolution. Let's get our kids to school every day, and mom and dad, make sure they're there.
That's right. And keep Terry out of it.
Yeah, that would be one job security thing I wouldn't mind losing.
There you go. Terry, thanks for coming in. Always appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Thanks to you, too.